And last week we looked at part one, burdens and yokes. We looked at what that is, what it means, and we looked at the significance of it. And like I just said a while ago, the Lord spoke to my heart last week, and I'm going to give you a flip side of this today, because I want you to have clarity and understanding. Otherwise, when you read certain scriptures, you'll just get confused. And the Lord said, bring clarity and let my people understand that this is important, because we just said a while ago that this year in our lives, in 2024, God is removing every hindrance. Come on, say with me, every hindrance removed.
Every hindrance.
Say it again, every hindrance removed.
Every hindrance.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
That's how it's done. Invoking the name of Jesus. And we have the right to do that because we are sons and daughters of the living God. So I really want you to pay attention, folks. I don't preach fancy messages. Okay, I go to God in prayer and I come with the word. And the Lord, I study, okay, and I look at scriptures a little deeper than perhaps I used to in the early in my ministry. But I'm going to do a quick review of last week, and then I'm going to go into what I am now talking about, and I'm going to look at the flip side of this, okay? And I'm going to show you something else from the Word of God, and hopefully when we put it together, it will make sense. So last week we spoke from Isaiah 10:27, and that's what it said: "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." I didn't say last week; I'll say it again this week. And the anointing oil is always symbolic, where it's not used literally in the Bible. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. There are seven symbols of the Holy Spirit, which I'm not going to go into now. Oil is one of them. Okay, and this anointing oil is representative of the anointing of God. And the anointing of God is what lifts burdens and destroys yokes. You need to really remember that. And we spoke last week about what a yoke is and what it does. A yoke binds or couples things or people together. Okay? And here we see two oxen I showed you last week being yoked together. And the yoke is placed around the animal's neck, and that controls its mobility. It controls the way it looks, where it looks. It controls its direction. Okay? And we looked last week and we said from Isaiah 10:27, we see then that the Assyrians had done this to God's people. They had placed yokes around their necks, and we briefly mentioned why. Disobedience. And God allowed his people, okay, to be time and time and time and time and time and time and time again in the Bible to be conquered, if you like, or triumphed or oppressed by the enemy because of their sin. But nevertheless, even when God punishes people, God's mercy is always there. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And thank God for the mercy of God. I mean, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, none of us would be here today. None of us. Okay? We're not here because of our goodness. We're here because of God's mercy. And we must remember that. Okay, and I'm not going to go into too much of that. But we said three things last week. Okay, we said that the anointing causes burdens to be lifted from the shoulders. And we said shoulders, spiritually, are always representative of responsibility. And God's enemies had placed responsibilities on the shoulders of God's people. And so they could not function to serve God the way that God wanted them to serve him. Okay, but the Bible says in Isaiah 10:27, it says, "And in that day," and we said that day is a specific day. Specific day, when the day of your breakthrough, the day when God comes, the day when God lifts the burdens from shoulders, but not just that. Number two, causes the anointing, okay? The anointing causes yokes to be removed from the necks, so they won't be controlled any longer. And not just that, but we said the anointing, the third thing it does, it breaks the yoke. It destroys it. So that the yoke cannot be used anymore. It's destroyed once and for all. Okay? And so we looked at those three things. I'm going to show you briefly some scriptures I showed you last week. Isaiah 10:24 and 25 from the NLT, the New Living Translation. So this is what the Lord of heaven's armies says, "O my people in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrians, when they oppress you with a rod and with a club, as the Egyptians did long ago, and in a little while my anger against you will end. This is God talking to his people. Okay? My anger against you will end, and then my anger will arise to destroy them, your enemies. So some of us might be going through stuff right now, and it could be because of our disobedience. It could be because of other things, circumstances. But God is saying in that day, in that appointed time, that's going to stop in Jesus' name. But we must remain where God wants us to be. In prayer, in love, in service, in honor, in gratitude, in consistency with the things of God. Not starting and stopping, not being here, then not being here. We've got to be where God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do, and then God will show up. You've got to prove and demonstrate your faithfulness to God. God has demonstrated his, and he's doing that today. He's done it already. He did it right here for God's people by talking about the Assyrians. And he said, just like, you know, they're oppressing you like with the rod of the club of the Egyptians, what they did long ago. But look at the next verse. The Lord of Heaven's armies will lash at them with his whip. I don't know about you, but I got a picture when I read that. The picture of God with a whip in his hand, whipping the enemies of God. You know? And as he did when Gideon triumphed over the Midianites, you might know the story, you can't go into that now, at the Rock of Horeb in your Bible. And or when the Lord's staff was raised to drown the Egyptian army in the sea. I read this again just this week, that verse, and something leapt up at me that didn't leap up at me before. You remember the story? You remember the story when, very quickly, when Moses was leading the children of Israel through the Red Sea, yes? You remember that? And let me ask you a question. How did he do it? How did Moses lead the people? What did he do with the rod in his hand? He raised it up. Whose rod was it? It was Aaron's rod, wasn't it? Moses had Aaron's rod. You know that, yes? Moses, but here, look at this. Or when the Lord's staff was raised. I said, Lord, okay, it was Aaron's rod. But look, Lord, you said it's the Lord's staff. And this came to me. Listen to this. This came to me. Whatever you have in your hand, when you give it to God, it becomes his. You hearing me, church? That's why when God says to you, give. I'm just giving an example. Give of your money. Give of your time. You're not sacrificing anything. You're not giving it away. All you're doing is moving on obedient. And if God is telling you to do something, it's because he has better. If he's telling you to release something in your hand, it's for a reason. And you will never suffer as a result of your obediences. Come on. You hearing me? Whatever you release in your hands and give to God, it becomes his. And then he uses it for his glory. Give the Lord a clap hand. Come on. Just thought I'd show you that. Now, today we're going to go to Matthew 11. We're going to go to Matthew 11. And as I said, I'm going to show you a flip side of this today. I believe the Lord wants me to show you this. This is why I'm going there. Because what Jesus had to say was quite, it sounds like it's the opposite of what Isaiah 10:27 said last week. Because 10:27 is talking about burdens being removed and yokes being destroyed. But then Jesus said something very significant here. I've got the verses on the screen. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. By the way, who was speaking? Jesus was speaking. Jesus was speaking. Now listen to what he said. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I said, whoa. Because we spoke last week about the importance of getting rid of burdens from the shoulders. Yes? Yeah? And yokes from the neck, getting rid of it. But here Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. Hang on a minute. So is Jesus, because 1 Peter 5:7, Jesus said, Peter said, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. That's you casting all of your concerns, the things that you're facing, your problems, your difficulties, the things that is weighing you down, you're casting it on him. But here it seems that Jesus is placing it back on us. So we need clarity, we need understanding to not let confusion come in. So that you'll understand exactly why Jesus said what he said, because there's a reason for that. And some of you, you might know it already, because I know you guys are smart people, but I just thought, let me bring this to you and show you what the Lord showed me. Now, the first thing I'm going to look at is this word, heavy laden. Come on, say heavy laden.
Heavy laden.
Heavy laden, that means, I'm not going to give you the Greek, it means overburdened, or it means incorrectly loaded. All right, please keep those phrases in your mind. Jesus is saying here, come to me, all of you, and by the way, who labor? So if you're not laboring, don't bother come. What are you coming for? You're not tired. You're not doing anything.
Yeah.
What are you doing for the kingdom? Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor.
Yeah.
That's a qualification. And are heavy laden. Now, incorrectly loaded. Because sometimes that can happen.
Yeah.
One of the key things that a pastor has in a church, and it's very difficult, especially in a church like ours now, where there's a lot of responsibility, but only a few people that can carry that weight and carry that load. One of the responsibilities you have as well as I have is to, and the elders have, is to bring balance so that any one individual does not become overloaded. Are you hearing me, church?
Yes.
All right? So, come to me, all you who are overburdened or incorrectly loaded. That phrase is only used twice in the Bible. The other place where it's used is Luke 11:46. And in Luke 11:46, that word is not translated heavy laden. It's called load. It's translated load. Only two places that Greek word is used. Okay? So, come to me, all you who are overburdened or incorrectly loaded. And what did he say? And I will give you rest. But he went on to say something. He said, take my what? Take my yoke upon you. The Greek word there is zygos. Z-Y-G-O-S. And it means burden. It means bondage. Wow. Hang on a minute. Take my burden. Take my bondage upon you. But aren't you glad he didn't stop there? He didn't stop there, because it would sound like, hang on a minute. What, Jesus, what are you trying to do?
Yeah.
You know, he didn't stop there. Take my zygos. Take my burden. Take my bondage upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. Now, last week we said that when you take on burdens, when you have yokes, they weigh you down, they slow you down, they wear you out. You haven't got no energy, you can't focus, you're tired, you can't do anything because you're overburdened. And here Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. You'll find rest. So it must be saying something different, and that's what we're going to go to now, because it continues to say, for my yoke. Could you read that with me? Ready? Read. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Read it again. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, when he says my yoke is easy, we need to have a look at that to see what it means. Because Jesus here is saying, take my bondage, take my burden. But it's not to weigh you down, to kill you out. He went on to say, no, for my yoke is easy. Well, what does it mean when he said my yoke is easy? What does that really mean? Let me give you the, let me give it to you, I'll put it up there. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word easy is the Greek word krestos, and it means good. Wow. So this is not a bad kind of yoke. My yoke is good. That's what he said when he means easy. When he says easy, my yoke is good, it's kind, it's gracious, it's manageable. So therefore you're not overburdened, you're not overloaded. Whatever is placed upon you, it is useful. It is fit for use. It is pleasant. It is virtuous. Church, are you hearing this? All right, some of you might be thinking, yeah, but why do I need to take that on? You need to take it on. Because you're a Christian, and it's part of the path that you're... You think as a Christian you're going to go through life without challenges? You don't think so, do you? Church, you can answer me. No, if you do, then, you know, I'll bring correction. I won't sort of... Do you think that... All right. Of course you don't. I know you don't. It's easy. Take note of that, because I'm going to flick on to something else now. All right, it's easy. But not just easy, he said light. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Elaphros is the Greek. And it means light in weight. Okay? Agile, quick, easy to be kept. So this is a different type of burden that Jesus is talking about. This is a different type of yoke that he's talking about. It's completely different. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not like what the Assyrians did and what the enemy seeks to do today to God's people. Okay? But it's different from the Lord. But remember what we read. He said, take that upon you and learn from me. Oh, we can't miss that part out. And learn from me. And learn from me. Okay? And that's what we need to understand, and that's what we need to do. When we're going through our Christian life, our Christian walk, folks, we're going to have challenges. I'm going to show you that in a moment. You're going to have difficulties. You might as well face the bad news from now. The apostles of old, the prophets of old had it. Why should you get away with it? You're representative of the kingdom of God. But remember, I told you that we're wired for success. The Bible says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not just a human being. You're not just in existence. No. You were created. Before you came on this earth, your Father knew you'd be here. And he's establishing your life, in your heart, purpose. Purpose that will be revealed if you are learning from him. So that when you come across these difficulties and come across these challenges, you will know how to handle it. Why? Because you're learning from the Master. You're learning from Jesus. That's why. You're not doing your own thing. You're doing what he says that you should do. Alright, let me go on here. He says, take my yoke upon you. Why did Jesus say, take my yoke upon you? Remember, the Bible says that the commands of God, and it's important to keep this. We've just seen it. I mean, I've just given you reasons. My burden is light. All right? It's manageable. My yoke is easy. You know, it's not created to bring down destruction upon your life or heaviness on your life. It's completely the opposite. It's kind. It's gracious. It's good. We just looked at that. We saw that. But we're asking the question, well, why did Jesus say, take my yoke upon you? Okay, why did he say that? And I'm reminded when I sort of asked this question and put that there, take my yoke upon you. I'm reminded of another scripture that says, the commandments of God are not burdensome. I cannot remember if I have it up there. Let me have a look. Maybe I have it, maybe I don't, but I've just told you anyway. The commandments of God are not grievous. In other words, they're not harmful. They're not heavy. Whenever God tells you to do something, it may seem like a difficult thing to do. And guess what? In the flesh it is. But with God, all things are possible. And that's why he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So therefore, I'm going to learn from Jesus and I'm going to get direction from him. And from him comes my anointing, from him comes my strength, my direction, and everything that I need to be the success God has called me to be. His is going to come from him. Yes, challenges will come, but so what? I've got the Lord on my side and he will direct me through it. Now I'm going to give you some more scriptures in a moment. I'm going to read this. I'm going to give you some more scriptures to hopefully bring help and comfort to know that your Father loves you and is thinking about you. You're going to go through stuff, church. You're going to go through stuff, but you've got God with you. And please never forget that. And that's why I constantly say from this pulpit, practice the presence of Christ. Wherever you go, take Christ with you. He is there with you. He loves you. And he expects you to do that because he wants you to learn from him. Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, anybody desire to come after Jesus? Can I see your hands? I'm looking carefully. I hope Garfield, I don't see your hand. Garfield said he went up first. Come after me. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily. And then follow me. So there's no such thing as following Jesus without denying yourself. There's no such thing as taking up your cross and following Jesus without denying yourself. And part of that means denying the flesh of what it wants and its right, which is why it's good to fast. And why we as Christians, we have to discipline our flesh, ourselves, so that the flesh, I mean, you know this, church, you know this, it always wants what it wants when it wants it. And we can't always do that, because if the flesh has its way, it's going to lead to death. And again, that's what the Bible tells us in Romans 8, I believe. All right, so he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, you desire to come after Jesus, you lifted your hands just now, you're going to deny yourself. It's not about what you think. It's not about what you want. It's not about how you think it should be done. You've got to deny yourself. You know what that means? That means I've got to be humble. All right, are you here? Good. It means I've got to be humble. What does that mean? I've got to place my mission below the mission of another. And we're told to do that. We're taught to do that in God's word. We've got to deny ourselves. Then we've got to take up our cross. Hang on a minute. Your crosses now is where your burdens come in. And your yokes that Jesus said you should take up from him. You're serving Christ. You are going to get stuff that you don't like. And Jesus knew this, but he said, take it upon me. Right? Why? Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then follow me. Don't do this. Don't deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and then don't follow Jesus. No. Follow him. Do what he says you should do. Be where he says you should be. I don't think I can emphasize that anymore. And I hope you got that. But we're going somewhere. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Oh, there it is. And his commandments are not burdensome. That's the verse I was quoting earlier. His commandments are not burdensome. They're not heavy. They're not hard to do if the Spirit of God is in you and his word is working in your life. Remember now, the arm of flesh will fail. If you're going to do things, and this is where a lot of people go wrong, they get up and then they do things in the flesh. And then later on you find out it's hard. Why? Because you didn't learn from Jesus Christ. You didn't follow him and do what he says you should do. You didn't seek him. You didn't get counsel from him. You got counsel from others. And as a result, it does become burdensome. But his commandments, anything he tells you to do, okay, it is not burdensome. John 16:33. These things, Jesus was speaking here. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, listen to this, you will have. Alright, everybody's afraid to say it. Say it with me. Read that verse together. Ready? Read. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So again, Jesus was speaking here, and he was saying, listen, well, if you're going to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me, you're going to have trouble. Like I said just now, the apostles of old had it. The prophets of old had it. Jesus Christ himself, while he was here in his ministry for only 3.5 years, had it to the point where he was crucified. But you and I know it was all part of the Father's plan. Okay? You will have tribulation. You know what that word means by now. Tell me what it means. I've said it so many times. One at a time, please. Trouble. Trials. Temptation. Anguish. Pain. You're going to have all these things. What, Gavin? You're going to have mountains. Oh, yeah, you're going to have that as well. So that's what it means. You will have, the Greek word is thlipsis, okay? And it means trouble, trial, anguish, pain. You're going to have it. And this is why I keep saying that pain is a prerequisite when working the will of God. It is. You can't get away from that. If you're going to work God's will somewhere, sometime along the way, you're going to have some kind of pain. But listen, Jesus said, be of good cheer. Listen to that. You're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. Lord, how can I be happy? I'm going to have trouble, I should be happy. Yeah, why? Because he has overcome the world. And if he's overcome the world, guess what? He said that you are more than You're more than a conqueror. Say it with me out loud, please. I am more than a conqueror. Say it again. I am more than a conqueror. Doesn't matter what you're going on. Say it again. I am more than a conqueror. Trouble in your home, trouble in your life, but I am more than a conqueror. And that's you he's talking about. So be of good cheer. That word cheer means let your heart be of a mirthful disposition. Let it be happy. Don't get sad and depressed and down, walking with a long face because you're going through something. Everybody's going through something. I don't mean to matter, but you know, everybody's going through it because the enemy has a way of just making you feel like you're the only one going through stuff. But how many people know the devil is a
liar?
And the truth is not in him. Let's move on. John 14:27. Listen to what Jesus said. Again, Jesus was speaking here. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So, you're going through trouble, but Jesus said you can have joy, you can have mirth. And he also said you can also have peace. You can have trouble, but you can have peace. And you will know what are we talking about because you have experienced that. Trouble all around, but yet there's a peace of God that surpasses all understanding that resides in your heart. Have I got any witnesses here? Yeah? So Jesus is now saying, hey, I'm not as the world gives. Don't let your heart be agitated. The Greek word is terasso. It means agitated. It means stirred up. It means shaken. Don't let your heart be stirred up. Don't let your heart be shaken. You know why your heart should not be shaken? Because if your heart is shaken, picture, I'm not going to do it. You see this bottle of water? It's got a cover on it, alright? So it's going to stay on it. But if this bottle has water in it, yeah? And if I should take the lid off and shake it, what do you think is going to happen? The water, and if I keep on being shaken like this, agitated, stirred up, what's going to happen? All the water is going to go out of the bottle, it's going to be empty. The word of God resides in your heart. And so God says, don't let your heart be agitated, stirred up, don't let it be shaken. Why? Because the word will go out. You're allowing other things to come in, other circumstances to come in now to shake the word out of your heart. No word, no victory. And that's why there's no place for ignorance in the kingdom of God, especially in today's world in which we're living. You're too busy to read God's word, you're too busy. You're too busy to pray, you're too busy. No place for that at all. But he went on, he said, don't let your heart be troubled and don't let fear come in. So that means now, I've got to change my attitude. I've got to change my perspective. I've got to now look at things differently. I cannot look at things the way that I always look at things. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's the reasonable thing that God is asking you to do. And he didn't stop there. He says, and don't be what? Conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, God is saying here, no. If you find yourself agitated, if you find yourself stirred up, if you find yourself having burdens or even the work of the Lord, because by the way, that's never what God is talking about. The work of the Lord becoming heavy, you find that becoming heavy and becoming burdensome. Something is wrong on our end. And we need to bring balance. Are you hearing me, church? And that happens naturally. Doesn't mean the person's bad or unwise, or maybe unwise. But it doesn't mean the person's bad or anything else. It could be because they're overburdened because others are not doing their part properly. And we find ourselves now weighted down and tired and not able to do what God wants us really to do because there's too much there. We need to make that adjustment and we need to learn from Christ. And that's why church is important. And that's why everybody's involvement in church is important. I mentioned this last week. That it'd be good to see people come out earlier. Make that effort, church. I'm saying it for a reason. Because I do not want the few of us that are here every Sunday setting up. Let the love of God drive you to get here early, not on time, man. Early. You're on time when you get here 10:45. If you're not here 10:45, you're not on time. But don't let the word, let the love of God draw you. Say, Lord, I'm going to your house and I'm going to help in whatever way. I'm going to help my brothers and sisters to alleviate things from them so that they are not become overburdened. But the word of God says here, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation, the Greek word is metamorpho. Okay? It's an inward change. And you know this by now. That results in a outward change. So if you're going to have a change on the outside, you first got to have a change on the inside. And again, that's where the word of God works. In your heart, on the inside, bringing conviction of truth and bringing the realities of what God wants and what the Holy Spirit is actually saying to us. Not just when we're by ourselves, but even here on a Sunday when the word is being preached, when someone's giving a testimony, when someone is exhorting. But the word of God, you know, the word of God is everywhere. God will speak to you however he can speak to you. Even driving your car. And the Lord spoke to me one time, some years ago. I was driving my car. I was going to work. No, he never said slow down. No. I was I was going at the right speed. But there was a big poster. A billboard, that's right, thank you. A big billboard. And it was when the new Vauxhall Cavalier came out. And as I looked at that, something in my heart, this has happened to me a few times in my life, and there's another time when it happened to me. A few times in my life, when the thing leapt up, and it's like, that car that you love and that you see, you're going to have one day. And it wasn't too long ago. It wasn't too long after that I had. It wasn't brand new, it was 8 months old when I bought it. So it's less than a year old. Because as I saw the billboard, loved the new Vauxhall Cavalier. And the Lord saw that. And don't we have a gracious, loving Father? He loves you, you know, man. And he's concerned about, yeah, the very little things that nobody's thinking about. And maybe the things that even you think aren't important. It's not just kingdom things. Thank God for kingdom things. But God is interested in your life. Every aspect of your life. And there's a word called favor. Come on, shout favor.
Favor.
Come on, no. Shout favor.
Favor.
Shout favor.
Favor.
The favor of God is on your life.
Amen.
And so God can show up at any time and just do things. Any time and just turn on. Any time and just provide. Any time and just bless you.
Yeah.
Bless your socks off.
Yeah.
Look and say, hold on a minute. Didn't put on my socks this morning. Transform by the renewing of your mind. So your mind needs to be transformed. Your thinking needs to be right. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is you become what you think. And we know all this because we've taught all this so many times over the years. Let me move on. I could say so much more right there. But 1 Corinthians 10:13, another verse I quote quite a bit. And I looked this week, I looked at some of those words for the first time. Because I said it's very important. It says this, no temptation has taken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That verse is packed with stuff. I'm just going to highlight a few things. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. I said earlier, sometimes we're going through stuff and we think that we're the only ones going through it. No, you're not. Nothing that you're going through, okay, is unique. Because somewhere in the world, someone is going through the same thing. Okay? And that's where the common to man comes in. But God... Church, you hear that? But God is faithful. Who is he faithful to? His children. Those who are his. You and I. But God is faithful. Who will not, listen, who will not allow you to be tempted? All right. So that word tempted, I looked it up. And it means a Greek word, pirezo. P-E-I-R-Z-O. Perezo. And it means to try to test one's faith. It means virtue. It means character. It means agitated. It means shaken. Wow. And it means stirred up. And I said that's what that word means. Okay? Tempted. Okay? So God is saying here, He will not, you're going through stuff, but He will not allow you to be agitated, to be shaken, to be stirred up beyond what you are able. Every single one of us are made differently, and God knows what your limits are. Church, He knows what you can handle, He knows what you can't handle. He knows. And sometimes we're going through things and we think, oh, I can't handle this, I can't handle this. And guess what? You can. You can. Not in the flesh by yourself, but leaning on God, leaning on Jesus Christ while you're taking on the yoke of the ministry, if you like. You know, His kingdom. And learning from Him. Okay? I say it again, because some of you might be taking notes, I haven't got it on the screen. That word tempted is pirazo. And it means to try. It means to test one's faith. It means virtue, character, agitated, shaken, and stirred up. So He will not allow you to be tried beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, that word temptation is a different word. Very similar, but it's different. Perasmos. And it means the trial of man's fidelity, integrity, virtue, constancy. That's what it means. I'll say it again. Perasmos, the word temptation. And it means the trial of man's fidelity, integrity, virtue, or constancy. So God is saying here that, yeah, you're going to be tried, but you're not going to be tried beyond what you are able, but with that temptation, with the trial that you are going through, He's saying, I will also make a way of escape, not so that you can run from it, but so that you can. So, oh, no, hang on. Oh, I've got it on the screen, haven't I? Did I just see it? Bear it. Okay, bear it. I've also got it in my notes. Yes, I remember putting it there because I said, no, I want them to see this because this is important. So that you may be able to bear it. Hypophero, to bear by being under. Listen to that. To bear up a thing that's placed on one's shoulders. All right, okay. So in Isaiah 10:27, God is saying that I'm going to remove the burdens that's placed on your shoulders by your enemies. Yeah? And in the New Testament, Matthew 11, we saw Jesus talking about, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Okay? My yoke is light. So the thing that's heavy, that's going to kill you, that's going to weigh you down, that's going to make you tired, is being removed from your shoulder. And remember that Jesus said, my burden is manageable. You're able to bear it. You're able to carry it. And that's what He's going to place on your shoulder. And that's the responsibility now of the kingdom. So nothing is given to you in terms of the kingdom responsibility that is going to wear you out, make you tired, whatever else. Where is He going to place it? Right there on your shoulders. Are you hearing me? Shoulders are what? Responsibility. Responsibility. You each have a responsibility in the kingdom that God has placed upon you. And you have a duty to make sure that the responsibility that you have, okay, that you are bearing it. And He will teach you and He will show you as you learn from Him how to handle it and how to carry it. So I put that up there because that's important. 2 Timothy 3:11, I've also got that there. That word is used here. Okay, hypophero, the same word is used in 2 Timothy 3:11. Listen to what Paul wrote to young Pastor Timothy. Persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. So that word is translated endured right here. So Paul was saying to Timothy that, listen, I've gone through stuff. I've gone through stuff, but guess what? I endured, hard as it was, persecution. And if you study Paul's life, just read the New Testament and you'll see what Paul went through. Read the book of Acts. You'll see what he went through. But yet the man was able to what? Write one third of the New Testament? He was able to travel on foot at parts of his ministry and ship other parts, but on foot for hundreds if not thousands of miles, setting up churches. No such thing as airplanes or Uber. Everything was done on foot. And what was done on foot was done on ships. Where he traveled and went and he's a circuit. So he just didn't set them up and leave them, but he went again and strengthened them. Not him alone, others with him too. But he went and strengthened. So he traveled for hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of miles in his ministry. All right, and while he was doing that, he was suffering persecutions, afflictions, which came to him at these places, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and other places as well. And he said, I endured. I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Why? Because God said he would never leave us nor forsake us. This word is also used somewhere else. I've got it on the screen here. 1 Peter 2:19. A letter to Peter, that same word was used as well. And he said, for this is a thankworthy, this is thankworthy if a man for conscience, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure. What did he say? He said it's thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God. In other words, in anybody that has their mind on kingdom business, it's a thankworthy thing, and toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Things will happen to you, but God has promised that whatever you're going through, you will not get more than you can bear, but with that temptation, trouble, trial, make a way of escape so that you'll be able to bear it. That's the anointing, church. That's going to be upon your life while you're serving him, because something I didn't mention last week, I'll mention it again today. Anointing is for service. It's not for showmanship. Yeah. Ooh, look at me. I'm anointed. Well, what are you doing for the kingdom? Not much, but I'm anointed. No, no, no. Anointing is for service. Anointing is for service. Say that with me. Anointing is... One more time. Anointing is for service. So yeah, you can say you're anointed, but you better be serving. You better be serving. Because that's what the anointing is for. All right, let me move. I'm coming to a close. James 1, 2 to 3, I think I am, I'm not even sure. Can't remember what's up there. James 1, 2 to 3. My brethren, listen to what James says. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. So you're getting it from all different angles, church, from different people. You're getting it from Jesus, you're getting it from Paul, you're getting it from Peter, and you're getting it also from James. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, I've underlined two words there because I need to bring clarity there so that people don't misinterpret, like I hear a lot of people, not here, but people misinterpret the Word of God. When the Bible says count it all joy when you fall, listen, that word fall, it doesn't mean, oh, when you fall, as in you trip and you fall into it. It says when you, that word fall means come up against, and a better interpretation would be that. Count it all joy when you come up against various trials. Right? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces. Have I got it on the screen? No. Produces. No, I've got this one. Oh, yes, I have. Sorry. Come up against and produces. That word produces. Look, nothing bad cannot produce anything good. So it's not produces in manufacturing. No. It means employs or put to work. Alright? So, my brethren, count it all joy when you come up against various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith employs and or puts patience to work. That's the fruit of patience. It puts it to work. So when you come up against things, you need the fruit of the Spirit. And that's why it's important, and I said character above gifting. Because the fruits of the Spirit is what builds character. And it's your character that's going to carry you places. Church, your character will take you places that your talent cannot. So those who elevate their talent above character, they're going to have something come. When they come up against trials and so forth, see how far your gifting brings you. See how far it brings you. But your character will show up here. And specifically, the fruit of patience is put to work. And the patience, that word, I didn't look it up, but I know it. But that's the word hupomone. It's a Greek word, hupomone. And it means to bear up under. It's very similar to the word that we looked at earlier. Okay? To bear up under. In other words, now you have the sustainability to overcome whatever it is that's coming against you. You can bear up under it. Why? Because of the anointing of God, and because of the fruit of the Spirit, and because of the Holy Spirit with you, and because of the Word that's working in your life. That's why you need to know the Word. That's why you need to hide the Word in your heart. Because if the Word ain't there, when you come up against trials, what are you going to do? What are you going to call on? You're going to run for your Bible? Can't do that. It's on this, that Word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. James 5 verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Wow, look at that. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations, here we go again, worketh patience, or employs patience, or puts patience to work. So we see it once again in the scriptures. That's what happens. When it comes, patience shows up. And a lot of things shows up. And the fruits of the Spirit show up. And God helps us. Because why? Because we're learning from Him. And that's why when you're going through certain things, that you say, Lord, what should I do? What should I do? What are you doing? You're turning to the Lord and you're saying, Lord, I need you. You said, Lord, I'm going through stuff right now, Lord, and it's hard. What should I do in this? How do I handle this? Oh my God. If some of you knew the things sometimes that we face. And the things that we have to go through, and the things that we have to handle almost on a daily basis. And that's why I ministered for 2 weeks on wisdom. Because we all need it, and we need it daily. You can't just say, oh, I'm wise for today. I have all the wisdom that I need because I prayed about it 10 years ago. And so thank you, Lord, for it. No, you need to ask God for it every single day. Every single day, because different circumstances, different things are coming across our way. So, I'm going to end now, I think. So, to follow Christ, because we're talking about now taking on the burden of responsibility, and to use Jesus' words, the yokes, because He wants to direct us, you see. He's not forcing us, because He cannot and He will never violate your will. Right? But He wants you to be steered in the right direction. He wants you to go in the right path. He wants you to have the right attitude. He wants you to have the good success that He said He would give to you. He wants you to have things that you've not yet seen coming apart to fruition in your life. God sees it, but we, if we have spiritual eyes, we'll perceive it. We'll see it as well. William Blake, is it? A 16th century English Christian philosopher said, a man cannot receive until he first perceives in the spirit what God has provided for him. So you've got to see it to possess it, to have it. You've got to see yourself in that promotion to have it. See yourself financially blessed and debt free to have it. See yourself increasing on every level. What are you believing God for, church? What do you want God to do for in your life in 2024? You've got to see it. You've got to perceive it. You've got to see it through that realm of the Spirit, the eye of the Spirit. A man cannot receive until he first perceives in the Spirit what God has provided for him. So we've got to, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 P's. Number one, we've got to depend upon God's anointing. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. God anointed Jesus. Jesus is our big brother. We are anointed for service too. We are anointed for service. So we've got to depend upon God. Never ever leave him out. You cannot do it without him. I can't do it. Every week I said, Lord, I'm going to stand before you people. I've prepared diligently like I should. But I can't do it without you, Lord. Without your anointing, I can't do it. If I'm looking on the arm of flesh, I remember when I started the ministry, I said, oh my gosh, I'm going from preaching once a year in a church to preaching almost every week and sometimes twice a week. It takes the anointing of God. But you can do it. Depend upon him for your anointing. 1 John 2:27. Deny, just reminding you now, deny yourself. And that involves humility. The process of humility. You've got to humble yourself. Luke 9:24, 1 Peter 5:6. Jesus himself humbled himself and became obedient, the Bible says, to death, even the death of the cross. So if Jesus did it, we can do it. Number three, take up your cross. Luke 9:23, we just looked at that earlier. Daily, take up your cross. Every day, whatever it is that you need to bear to see the kingdom sustained, to make progress in the kingdom, to do your part, take it up. Daily, take up your cross. Okay? Knowing that God is with you because he's anointed you to do whatever. If it's leading a service, if it's singing, putting away the chairs, whatever it is, there's a level of anointing that dwells upon you. Serving others, counseling others, encouraging, even after church. When you're having a tea and your coffee, the Holy Spirit might speak to you and say, go comfort or give a word of encouragement to a brother, to a sister. Or go show your appreciation to someone for what they're doing. It takes an anointing. Take up your cross daily and declare God's word. Proverbs 18:1, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. John 6:63, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Your words have power. I could go on, but I'm going to just put a couple here because you know them already. Declare God's word. Church, I cannot overemphasize the need. And that's how you create atmosphere. Release it in Jesus' name. Open your mouth and release it. Prophesy over yourself. Speak into your future. Bring down whatever you need to bring down. Whatever hindrance and demonic activity and work is coming against you, take authority over it in Jesus' name. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by enemies, it says a bit more than that, but nothing shall by enemies hurt you. Take the authority that God has and use it in Jesus' name. Don't put up with no mess on the devil. Don't put up with it. Oh, this is my portion. From who? That's your portion from who? Well, how you come to that conclusion that's your portion? If God says it's a portion, it's a portion. But if it's not, sickness is not a portion from God. It's nothing. Sickness does not come from God. As a matter of fact, God sent his son on the cross to die so that we'll be well and healed and whole. We are healed. Thank you, Toddy. Declare God's word. Release it out of your mouth. Boldly speak it. Don't be intimidated or fearful. Boldly speak your end result. Look into your life, whatever you need. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy that into my life. Over your kids, you lay hands on them, you pray. When they're out, you go into their rooms and you pray. And I don't care how old your kids are. They could be adults. They're still the children. And you declare that in Jesus' name. Deploy right actions. Because if you don't do that, what's the point of everything else? Oh, you got it in your head. Good for you. But where is it in your life? Deploy right actions. Psalm 34:14. I can't remember. 1 Timothy 6:18. Oh, I beg your pardon, I got another one. 6. Decide to make prayer a priority. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Pray without ceasing. Pray without cease. Some people stop praying when they have problems. You're happy and you don't have no problems, you're praying. Oh, you pray, oh, praise God, thank you, Lord. You have problems, you stop praying. No, no, no. What's that about? That's the time you should be praying, if anything. You call upon the name of the Lord and make prayer a priority in your life. And let the devil know what or where he belongs. Did I give you this last week? Know that God is thinking of you. Psalm 139:17-18. I don't think so. How precious are your thoughts toward me, O God? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Your God is thinking good things about you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a future for you. He's got a hope for you. And is this the last one? Yeah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. Let's stand on our feet if you can. Let's stand on our feet. Can we just start off? Just lift your hands and say, Father, thank you. Just thank you. I don't need to tell you what to. Come on. Just use your words now. Let's change the atmosphere. Let's increase this atmosphere. Just tell Him this morning. Come on, church. Let's tell Him. Tell Him. Tell Him. Tell Him boldly. Tell Him boldly. Lord, I love you, Lord. Lord, you are good. You are gracious, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Anything that I'm going through, Lord God, you have made a way of escape. Lord, I'm able to bear it. Lord, I'm going to be used this year by you in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm putting a stop now to the nonsense, Lord God, and to everything, oh God, that hinders me from doing my work for you. Lord, I give you praise. Lord, I give you glory. Lord, I lift you up. Thank you, Lord God, for change that's coming about in my life. Thank you, Lord God, for increase that's coming about in my life. Thank you, Lord God, for your anointing that you provided for me. Thank you, Lord God, that everything is broken in Jesus' name that hinders. Everything is broken that disappoints. Father, thank you that my words are changed. My mindset is being renewed. My words, oh God, are being different now, Lord. Firing up to you, Lord God, because you are great, you are awesome, you are beautiful, you are kind, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that anything, oh God, I am going through, you have made a way of escape. I bless you, I lift you up, I praise you, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for saving my kids. Thank you, Lord God, for saving my marriage. Thank you, Lord God, for this relationship, Lord God, that is in trouble. But Lord God, you are able to reconcile. You're able to bring together. You're able to change things around. Lord, I lift you up. Lord, I bless you. Lord, I praise you. I give you all the glory today. I hold nothing back, Lord, because you are awesome in this place. Oh, God, be glorified. Be glorified, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you today in Jesus' name. We bless you. We bless you with our heads bowed and while we remain standing. This is something that has just ebbed up into my spirit. Watch your words. Be careful what you are saying. When things happen that are not so pleasant, be careful not to reinforce the negativity to remain in your environment. Use the word of God to declare and to remove it, because you have the authority, you have the power from God to do that. Whatever you are going through, whatever difficulties that you are facing, God knows everything about it. And there is a way of escape. It may seem overwhelming, it may seem like it's too much. But God said in His word, I have made a way of escape, so that you can bear up under it. Because my yoke that you are taking on for the kingdom's sake is easy. And my burden is light. And so, Father, today we stand, Lord God, in awe of you. And we ask you, first of all, to forgive us, Lord, for our wrong words, yes, our wrong thoughts, Lord. attitudes, Lord God, that are not right between one another. We ask you, Father, to teach us to humble ourselves before you, Father. You said in your word, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will heal their land. Teach us, Father, to recognize the proper and important place of humility. Break us down, Lord God. And we pray, Lord Jesus, you said in Psalm 34, 19, 17 and 19, that a broken and a contrite heart, I think I quoted this last week, you will not despise, Father. So, Father, thank you that you are interested, Lord God, in your people. And here we are today as a body, as a church, Lord God. And I'm asking you as a pastor, Lord, I've prayed about me so much, Lord, but I'm praying about me again, Lord. Start with me first, Lord. Lord, we're so hungry for revival. We're so hungry for more of you, Lord. But break everything inside this mind here that does not please you, Lord. Break down everything, every hindrance, every barrier, every thought, every word, every action, everything that displeases, Lord. Break it down, Lord God. Break it down and take it away, Father. Because, Lord, I want to serve you and stand, Lord God, before you with a clean hands and a pure heart. I lift up, Lord God, those you've placed under my authority in this ministry. And, Lord, it's not just in this house. Those, Lord God, that you've given me responsibility in LWCC Jamaica and other places, Lord, ministers, Lord, that look to me. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that, Father, you would just speak to their hearts yet during this time, Father. Speak, Lord God. We're longing for more of you. We're longing, Father, for the deadness to go, Lord. We're longing for revival, Lord God. We're longing for a change, Lord Jesus, where we just come and we just fall before, prostrate before you, Lord, before this altar. Lord God, where we bow ourselves and not worrying about what people are thinking. And we pray that you break down every wall, every hindrance. Break it down, Lord God, and pour into us, Lord, a fresh anointing, Lord. A fresh perspective and vision, Lord God, of how things are. We live in a world that's so troubled, Lord God. So troubled. Even this morning, I'm reading, Father, for an email of a failure in ministry again, Lord God, somewhere else, Lord. And Lord God, there's so much wrong in the world and there's so much wrong in aspects of the church. But Lord God, we pray for the remnant that they're willing to position and posture themselves before you. That you will, oh God, help them, Lord. That you break down, Father, every barrier in Jesus' name. I decree and declare that every yoke placed upon them will be lifted and destroyed in Jesus' name. We pray that every burden will be removed from their shoulders, Lord, that others have placed upon them, Lord God. And that, Lord God, they will bear up under whatever responsibilities you have given them, Father, knowing that you will not give us more than we can bear. So, Lord, I pray for strength and I pray, oh God, for anointing. I pray for a closeness, Lord. I pray that we'll empty ourselves, Lord, of every rubbish and things that concern us, Lord God, when you have said in your word, we should cast our care on you. Why? Because you care for us. I pray that this will happen, Lord, and that we will humble ourselves before you and that you'll fill us afresh, Lord. We pray for a fresh anointing, a fresh movement, Lord God. Things that are in our lives, Lord God, that we're stubbornly keeping and embracing, Lord. I pray that that will be removed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. No more stubbornness. We cannot, oh God, ignore your word. And we cannot do it our way. But Lord, we want you. And we need you to move in our lives. Lord, open the hearts of your people, I pray. And let it not be hard. Let them not fight or rebel against your word, your truth, Lord. But humble us, Lord God, before you. So that, Lord God, you can use us, Lord, for your kingdom. Because that's what's desperately needed in the world today. But before we can be used, we need to be broken. Broken. We need to be emptied. emptied, emptied. Empty ourselves of ourselves. And then we need to be filled with your spirit and with your goodness and with your kindness. I give you praise now for what you are doing, Lord, and for what you are going to do in Jesus' name. If your body is sick right now, if you have pain in your body, just touch yourself lightly where you can. I'm going to pray a prayer to break that sickness in Jesus' name. Whatever it is, God sees and knows about it. It's not from Him. And so therefore, He does not want that for you. Now remember, when I'm going to pray, but remember, I'm just reminding you, when I taught you about therapeuo, it's a constant declaration. A constant thing. So you've got to stay on that thing. You can't just pray once and leave it. You've got to use your mouth now to declare and to release the ability of God upon your body. In Jesus' name. And then employ patience so that you can bear up under until the full manifestation happens. It may happen today. It may happen some other time. Therapeuo. In Jesus' name. Place your hands there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come under the authority of Jesus Christ right now. And we take a stand, Lord God, against every sickness, oh God, every pain, every discomfort, the very source, the very cause of it, in the hearts and lives of your people. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Father, that sickness now, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I rebuke it and I say, stop no more in Jesus' name. You have no right, you have no authority to operate in that body. Be gone in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that the peace of God will now be their portion, Lord God. And that, Father, we will leave this place, Lord God, confessing the good confession of Jesus Christ and declaring the end result. Father, thank you for bringing wholeness now in every part of their body, Father. Whatever needs to happen, Lord God, nothing is impossible for you. You can give new lungs. Lord, you can renew muscles. Bones that are worn away can be strengthened in Jesus' name. Whatever needs to happen, Father, you are our creator. You know about us more than we know about ourselves. But I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that Father, your will now be fulfilled in the lives of your people. And I know your will, Lord God, is healing, wholeness in every area of our lives and body in Jesus' name. So I speak that now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for restoration. Thank you, Lord, for your touch. Thank you, Father, for your healing touch. And we give you praise. You're a magnificent, beautiful God. And I give you praise and I give you all the glory for what you are doing even now. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody say,